And y'all pray for me, okay? I tell you what, let's do. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 8. The book of Exodus chapter number 8. About a year ago, I was preaching a revival down past Wartburg, Tennessee, Harriman, Tennessee, and the Lord gave me this message for that revival, the closing night of revival, and I've not preached it since then, but it seems like this week the Lord has had this on my heart, and very, very serious topic, a very serious subject, and I don't know who's here and what they need, but I hope I can help you very quickly in the Word of God. If you're in Exodus 8 and you want to stand with us, stretch your legs for just a second. Do that. Stretch your legs real good. And let me give you just a thought or two. And I'll let you go to the house. Exodus chapter number 8. And I want to read verse 1 down through verse 10. And verse 10 will be our text verse. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. If I refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thy house and into thy bedchamber, and unto thy bed and into the house of thy servants, and unto thy people and into thy ovens, into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs unto the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the rivers only? Now, pay attention to this, please. The land of Egypt now has been plagued with frogs for days. Everywhere they turn, there's frogs. The Bible says that when they would go into the kitchen to bake supper for their family, and Mama opened the stove and the oven, there was frogs inside of it. Can you imagine going to lay down in bed and pulling your covers back and there being frogs all in your bed? You step out of bed in the morning and feel something squish between your toes. There's frogs on the floor. Imagine trying to sleep at night with thousands of frogs croaking in the distance. And now Moses goes before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I tell you what I'll do. If you'll pray that God take these frogs away, I'll let your people go. And in verse 9, Moses says, fine, good. When do you want me to pray that God takes the frogs away? Now, what would have your answer been? Now. Immediately. Pray now, Moses. But look at verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. When Moses said, Pharaoh, when you want me to pray, he said, tomorrow. I want to preach on that simple thought this morning, tomorrow. Lord, I love you this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve you, do what you've called me to do. Lord, I can't have this prayer without thanking you for the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad for that wind from another world that's filled this building this morning. But Lord, now there's a realization in my heart that stirring has died down. And the wind's not blowing like it was. But like my pastor used to say, When the wind's not blowing, it's a good time to sow seed. Amen. And so, Holy Ghost, I pray. God, I pray that you'd move in somebody's heart, convict somebody's soul, do an eternal work in somebody's life. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. We all know the story of the land of Egypt. Children of Israel have been in captivity for 430 years. After 430 years of captivity, they cry out to God for deliverance. God sends them a Messiah, a deliverer by the name of Moses. And Moses goes before Pharaoh and tells him that it is God's will and God's intention for him to let the children of Israel go from the bondage that they were in. And with a hard heart and a stony soul, Pharaoh responds to Moses and responds to God and says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" And in reaction to that response, God begins to send plagues throughout the land of Egypt. The first plague was the plague of blood. We know that Moses stretched his staff over the waters and the waters of Egypt turned into blood. Now, I don't know about you, but if I went to take a shower this afternoon and turned on my faucet and blood came out, if I went into my refrigerator to get a glass of water out and it was full of blood instead of water, I believe that may have gotten my attention. But it did not get the attention of Pharaoh. With his hard heart and his stony heart, he still refused to let the children of Israel go. And so in response to that, God sent a second plague. It was the plague of frogs. And frogs came up through all the land of Egypt. I remember asking when I was down at Brother Tim's church how many people like frogs. I'll not do that this morning. I don't want to embarrass you if you're a weirdo and you like frogs. But frogs come upon the land of Egypt. And the frogs were so bad that eventually, obviously the frogs were worse than the blood, because eventually Pharaoh gets to the point that he calls for Moses and says, "Moses, I can't take it any longer. I can't stand it any longer. You've got to do something. Pray that God take these frogs away." And Moses, with a joyful heart, says, "Pharaoh, I'll be happy to pray. When do you want me to say this prayer? When do you want the frogs to leave?" And Pharaoh says to Moses, "Pray tomorrow." As I begin to think about this, I can't help but ask myself the question, why? Why would Pharaoh say, "Take them away tomorrow"? Why in the world would he not say, "Pray today"? Why in the world would he not say, "Pray tomorrow," or right now, pray this very moment? I cannot begin to understand the mind of Pharaoh. I don't know why he wanted to put off to tomorrow what needed to be done today. I could give you some speculation about that, and I will in just a moment. But I know this. I know that there are many people that are doing in their heart and in their soul just exactly what Pharaoh did in the land of Egypt that day. God, the Holy Ghost, comes by. God begins to move in their soul and trouble the waters of their soul and stir around in their heart. And God says, "I can do something for you now. I can help you now. I can touch you now. I can save you now. I can secure you now. I can do it for you now. But you've got to ask me to." And in their heart, they cry out to God and say, "God, not today. But if you'll come back tomorrow, maybe tomorrow I'll get saved. Maybe tomorrow I'll do what you've called me to do. Maybe tomorrow I'll surrender to your will. But go away for now. Come back tomorrow." Can I say that one of the greatest lies that the devil has ever told is the lie of tomorrow? Dr. Curtis Hudson used to tell the story of Satan calling all of his angels. I've told it before here. The devil called all the demons of hell together, and he asked for suggestions about what would be a good way to damn men's souls to hell. And Dr. Hudson said that one demon gave a suggestion, and another demon gave another suggestion, and one yet another. Then a brilliant demon came forward and said, "I'll tell you what let's do. Let's tell men that there's a Bible, that the Bible is God's word. Let's tell men that there's a real hell and there's a real heaven. Let's tell them that people who die without a Savior go to hell. and that those who believe in Christ when they die go to heaven. Let's tell men that God loves them and has provided a way whereby they can be saved. Let's tell men that they ought to be saved. But let's tell them that they don't need to be saved now. Let's tell them just to wait a while. And the story says that all the demons of hell, even Satan himself, applauded that brilliant demon. That's it. That's what we'll do. Men will fall for that. That's the best way to damn their soul to hell. You see, you know that this Bible's real. You know that heaven is real and hell is real. I don't have to convince you of that. God's already convinced you of that. My question to you is, are you going to put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today? Tomorrow is the greatest lie the devil has ever told. There may be somebody here this morning and you're lost. The devil has been telling you to put it off one more Sunday. Don't get saved today. Wait till next week. Wait till somebody won't be there or somebody will be there. You know what the devil's trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to spend one more night with frogs. There may be somebody here and God has called you to do something. God has put his finger in something in your life and said, this is what I want from you. This is what I've told you to do. This is the direction I've led your life. But the devil comes by after God tells you that he wants you to do something. The devil comes by and says, put it off one more Sunday. Spend one more night with the frogs. You don't have to do that today. It could be there's something in your life that you need to get rid of. But the devil wants you to spend one more night with it. Let me show you three things very quickly. I want you to notice three things about this great lie tomorrow. Let me say, number one, tomorrow your feelings may grow hard. Why not wait till tomorrow, preacher? Because tomorrow your feelings might grow hard. Look at Exodus chapter 8, verse 15. It says, but when Pharaoh saw that there was a reprisal, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. When the Lord brought judgment into the life of Pharaoh, it was a type of God dealing with his heart. While God was dealing with his heart was tender and his heart was soft, and he was willing to obey the voice of God. He called for Moses and Aaron in verse number 8 and said, pray that God takes the frogs away. I'll let the people go. While God was dealing with his heart, he was willing to obey the voice of God. But when the plague goes away, instead of following through on his good intentions, his heart grows cold and his heart grows hard. And the thing that he purposed to do tomorrow, he is no longer willing to do when tomorrow rolls around. You see, there's some of you here and you know that God's speaking to you. You know that God's told you to do something. You need to do something for God. The devil wants to convince you to put that decision off till tomorrow because he realizes that you may not feel the same way you do right now. That Holy Ghost may not be moving tomorrow, and your heart might be cold and your heart might be hard tomorrow. You may not feel the same way tomorrow. Watch this. You might be different tomorrow. It is my opinion that Pharaoh wanted to put Moses off one more night because he wanted a little more time to try to deal with the problem himself. He thought, maybe if I can wait one more night, the frogs will just leave on their own and I won't have to have Moses pray. Maybe if I can wait one more night, my magicians can come up with a spell and they can make the frogs leave. Maybe if I just wait one more night, this problem will fix itself. So I'll tell Moses to pray tomorrow. But one more night won't allow you to figure things out on your own. God wants you to do something today. God wants you to move today. God wants you to be obedient today. Hey, you can't figure it out on your own. And you can't fix it on your own. And you can't make it right on your own. God's got to help you. And God wants to help you now. in Luke chapter number 9, Jesus speaks to a young man, speaks to a multitude about following him, and a young man steps forward. The young man says in verse 61 and 62, and another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home and at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what Jesus said to that young man? He said something like this, Brother Scott. The young man said, Jesus, I want to be obedient to you. I want to follow you, but I need to go home and talk it over with my family first. And you know what Jesus said? He said, no man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, if you go back and talk it over with your family, if you go back and think about it for a little while, if you go back and just decide what you want to do, you'll never return. You'll never follow me. You'll never make the decision that I want you to make. You need to put your hands on the plow, look straight ahead, and do what God tells you to do. Hey, can I say this morning, hey, the devil wants you to take your hands off the plow. Turn around, think about it for a little while. Spend another night with the frogs. But you need to set your eyes toward Calvary. Set your eyes toward Jesus Christ. Go all in with him today. Make that decision today. God's helping you today. Watch this. Watch this. Not only might you be different tomorrow, but God may not deal with you tomorrow. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The reality is that it is possible, it is very possible that God will not do business with you tomorrow. A man does not simply do business with God on his own schedule. You cannot pick and choose when you do business with God. You cannot say, God, today's not a good day, but tomorrow around noon looks good to me. God doesn't operate like that. God doesn't work like that. God deals with you, you better deal with him. God moves in your life, you better move toward him, because he might not deal with you tomorrow. The great apostle Paul stood up in the end of the book of Acts, and he preached Jesus Christ before Felix. That man of stature and that man of prestige, Felix. And Felix looked at Paul and he said, Paul, go thy way for now. And I could just get these frogs out of Egypt, then I can go back to my normal life. I can go back to living the way I want to live, doing the things that I want to do. But what Pharaoh never dreamed is that when the frogs left, the lice were on their way, and the blood was coming, hey, and the hail was coming, and the bulls, they were coming, and the death angel, she's coming. You see, tomorrow might just be worse than today. You say, oh, I'll wait before I do business with God. In your waiting, you may be setting yourself up for something worse than what you're dealing with right now. Watch this. Watch this. Why is tomorrow a false hope? Because you're hurting others right now. You're hurting others right now. Think about this with me. Not only was frogs in Pharaoh's house, but the Bible says the frogs were in the whole land of Egypt. Now, I don't know, Dad. Pharaoh didn't want to let the children of Israel go. But there may have been some families in Egypt didn't mind if they went. But they're suffering because Pharaoh won't let them go. Frogs are in my house because this guy's decision. I'm having to live with the frogs another night because somebody won't do business with God. Do you realize that you putting off what you're putting off, you're hurting somebody by doing that? There may be somebody else that's having to live with this, having to deal with this, having to go through this. And if you spend one more night with the frogs, they got to spend one more night with the frogs. Your delay is destroying somebody that you love. Not only are they hurting others, but they're heaping up trouble. Verse number 13 through 14 says, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. When God removed the frogs, the Bible says there were so many of them that they piled them up in heaps. They were like mountains of frogs outside the land of Egypt. And they smelled. And they stunk. But every night, think about this. Every night they put off dealing with their frog situation. It was more frogs they had to heap up, pile up when it was all over with. The thing you're putting off till tomorrow is just heaping up trouble in your life today. This is something you're going to have to deal with. You might as well deal with it now, because tomorrow it could be worse than today is. I told you I wouldn't preach long. I've skipped most of my notes. Let me give you one more thing. I'm out of here. Why is tomorrow the greatest lie the devil's ever told? Number three, because today might be your final hour. The Bible says this in chapter 11 of Exodus, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go thence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out thence altogether. You see, Pharaoh put off what God was asking him to do. And he put it off, and he put it off, and he put it off until God had no other alternative than to bring one more plague in his life. And God said, Moses, chapter 11, verse 1, Moses, when I bring this last plague, he'll be ready to do business. And we all know what that last plague was. It was the plague of death. And the Bible tells us that when the death angel came through Egypt that night, that it passed by the house of Pharaoh. And I can picture Pharaoh as he gets up, as the cry goes out through Egypt. Mama's everywhere screaming. Daddy's screaming. And Pharaoh gets up. And he runs into that bedroom of that little boy that he loved with all of his heart. His prized possession. His pride and joy. And he runs over to that little boy and he picks up his lifeless body. And tears roll down his cheeks. And his heart is broken. And he thinks to himself, I wish to God I'd let them go. When Moses said, let them go. When it was just frogs, I wish I'd let them go. But it's too late now. You see, God has a deadline. If there's something that you've been putting off till tomorrow, what makes you so sure that you have tomorrow? Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I read the story in the book of Luke chapter 12 about a rich young man making plans for his future. God comes by and deals with his heart, but instead of doing business with God, he continues to keep his focus on his life, fixing his life himself. And in an effort to fix his own problems, he said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. Then, when I've done that, I'll say to my soul. You see, God had been dealing with his soul. He said, I'll say to my soul, soul, take thy ease. Eat, drink, be merry, you know. You got it made now. And God whispered in his ear and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Not only does God have a deadline, but God has a desire. In chapter 12, verse 11, God is speaking to Moses and the children of Israel. And he's telling them about that Passover, preparing them for the night of Passover when the death angel comes. And he says, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Over and over, God spoke to Pharaoh about doing something. And over, Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Now God is speaking to the children of Israel and telling them what he wants them to do. And he tells them, I want you to do it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You know what God's saying? I want you to get busy doing. Quickly do what I've told you to do. Amen. I read an old story about a king one time who had a court jester that entertained him marvelously. And one day he said to his court jester, oh, court jester, you are the biggest fool I know. And he extended to him his royal scepter. And he said, court jester, you are the biggest fool I know. Keep this until you find a bigger. For years, the court jester kept the royal scepter of the king. Then the day came when the king knew he was going to die. He found himself upon his deathbed, never again to arise. And he called for his court jester to come in. And he said, oh, court jester, I'm going on a long journey, never to return. Speaking of death. And the court jester said, oh, sir, what preparations have you made for this long journey? And the king shook his head and said, alas, I've made none. And in that moment, the court jester extended the king his scepter. And he said, sir, you are a bigger fool than I am. I've jested about things in this life, but you have procrastinated about things in the next life. While Brother Scott comes to get us a song, and we've got our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you a few questions this morning. Let me ask you this, first of all. If you're here this morning, I want to know,